My wife and I have been in Cranford since 1992, so it's about a little over 20 years, and have had three kids here and are in our second home. I've been working in Cranford for the last 5 years and partnered with John Garrettson, my partner. Prior to that, I was on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange as a specialist trader for 22 years.
And as far as some of your financial background, you'd mentioned about the New York Stock Exchange. What else have you done as far as working in the financial world?
My financial background started in 1986, just before the, you know, what we call the main crash, the first crash. You know, started down there getting lunches. I mean, that's what most people did. And then you gradually work your way up to, you know, to kind of what we called clerking a larger stock to trading a larger stock. And got to the point where you were making a market in, you know, several, you know, Fortune 500 companies and dealing with their executive management teams.
Tell me about Garrettson Financial. What kind of services do you offer here?
You know, Garrettson Financial is, you know, we're an independent wealth management firm. And what that means is we basically work for ourselves. So we're not held to promoting any one product over another. There's no company that says, hey, we'd like you to use these funds. We're really just held by the performance of those funds, and we really don't care what name they are. And that resonates with a lot of people because, you know, we have no axe to grind. You know, we don't have any favorites. As long as it performs for the client and for us, we'll continue to use those assets. And if it doesn't, we will, you know, we will look somewhere else.
Cranford primarily is a middle-class community, but you have some variety when it comes to that in terms of people who are just starting out, those who are nearing retirement age, as well as those who are in the midst of their careers. What are some of the typical questions that they may come into your office and ask you about?
You know what? I think the main question that we find mostly, and it can be from a 25-year-old kid to a, you know, 60-year-old person that's thinking about retirement is, are they going to be okay in retirement? And that's their biggest worry. And whether that hits them at 25, 35, 45, or 55, that's really the main question. And that's where it starts. If, you know, they want to know that they're going to be okay. And then they also, they're wondering whether they're saving enough or whether they've saved enough and how to invest those assets so that they can, you know, grow and perform for them over, you know, over their lifetime and meet those goals.
What is the thing that perhaps they don't ask that maybe they should be asking or they should be thinking about that many people perhaps overlook when it comes to their financial planning?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know if there's one question that they don't ask, but what, you know, I compare it to, I'm going to laugh, but I compare it to me going into a mechanic or a gas station. I don't know anything about cars outside of how to turn them on. So I'm very nervous. When I go in there, they could tell me anything about the car. And it makes me nervous because I don't know. So with people's money, they become nervous about it because they don't know if they're doing the right thing. And it's one of those things in life that if they don't look at it, there's no problem. So usually the biggest step that a client has or a possible client has is once they're willing to come in and say, hey, you know what, I really want to look at my finances and evaluate them, that's basically the best thing they can do. And whether it happens, like I said, at 25 or 55, the sooner that it happens, the better, because you can't assess what their needs are and where they're going without taking a look at things, you know, their income and asset level.
Are there things that generally people should keep in mind? Are there some general rules that people should keep in mind when it comes to investing to not get overly excited about any particular thing, but to kind of go some sort of a steady course as they plan their financial future?
There's never any one thing in our belief that they should always have and will work all the time. I mean, of course, everyone is going to want to diversify their assets into different asset classes and different things like that so that they can minimize their risk to the market. But the one thing that we tell clients, and we're what's called a kind of a tactical advisor, meaning we will certainly adjust and allocate assets across, you know, different industries. But we don't leave them there forever because, you know, when I talk to people about, you know, banking or even just the market in general, investing in the market today is not necessarily the same as investing in 2008 when the market was in free fall and we had a very near, you know, banking crisis or we had a banking crisis, depending on who you talk to. But the banks in the U.S. are much stronger now. Their balance sheets are required by the government to be stronger. So we're not in the same arena now as we were 4 years ago, and I think that's important. But as far as investing in one thing, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, you don't necessarily go to buy tomatoes in the middle of winter. So there's always things that you should be, you know, spread around in. There's, in our belief, there's never one thing that you should own and own forever. And as far as emotion, you know, it's kind of like most decisions made on an emotional basis are never, usually not good. So we really, you know, that's really our job is to, you know, override the emotion with data and with, you know, and with intellect and make those decisions on a more thoughtful basis.
When I look back over my own financial life, I think about some of the different financial goals that I had when I was first married. My wife and I, our first goal was to save enough money for a down payment on a house and to purchase a house. And then as we had children, one of our financial goals became saving for their college education. And now that all of our children have graduated college, the next financial plateau, if you will, or goal that we have is looking toward retirement. Is it possible to plan for all of these things at the same time? If I'm a 25-year-old person coming into you to say, Jamie, I want to start planning my financial future. What's my priority? What should I be looking at? Do you try to do all those at once? Is it possible to do all those things at once?
You have to look at all those things at once. That's, you know, you definitely have to look at them. You know, we always favor saving for retirement, but that answer isn't necessarily right for everyone, depending on where they are with their cash flow. I mean, if they're, you know, I went through a similar progression as you. When you buy your first house, I mean, I'm probably like most people, I didn't have a dime. You know, you put all the money that you can in, you know, to that down payment. And if you were to talk to that person, whatever age they are, to tell them to save as much as they can and max out their 401k or whatever they're saving in, well, that may not be the right decision for them because whatever they're not able to put down, they have to borrow for 30 years. So if they were to put down if they were to save $10,000 in their 401k, that's $10,000 that they're unable to put down to their house, and they're going to have to borrow that money for, you know, 30 years or whatever that term of the mortgage is. So, you know, it's really an individual discussion, and, you know, like I said, what's important is to constantly, you know, come up with a plan, with a strategy. Okay, you need to address retirement at some point. If you can't address it during the current year, you need to figure out when you're going to be able to address it. You know, we don't want people to be coming in at a certain time and when it's too late. You know, when it's too late, they don't have many savings years left, and they really haven't saved appropriately. And there's different ways to save. It's not just a 401k. Some people, you know, some clients have a lot of real estate. You know, and that's not right or it's not wrong. That's just where their assets are, and that works for them. But you know, you have to save somewhat in some fashion. It's really taking a holistic view, whatever age you are, you know, and wherever job you might have, it's really taking a holistic view about what you're earning, how you can save, and are you living within your means? You know, people have different retirement goals. Some people want to live locally and, you know, not travel. Some people have more extravagant, you know, goals. You need to do different things to accomplish those goals. You know, if there's one thing that you haven't touched on, it would be insurance. I mean, that's definitely part of a discussion when people come in. It's not just how much money am I saving and where to invest it. It's like, okay, do you have enough life insurance or disability or what have you in case something were to happen? And you know what? The bottom line is with every client who we talk to, you know, we tell them the same thing. Our job is to make sure they're okay if good happens and make sure they're okay if bad happens. And that's really what planning and taking that holistic view is all about. So if good happens, everyone's going to be happy, right? But we want to make sure they're okay if bad happens. If bad happens at their company or the market or something else, you know, of course they're going to experience some loss and some stress, but we want to make sure that it's not catastrophic, and that's really our job.